salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
I'm just sitting there wondering how long it's going to be. I'm growing my beard, by the way. Everybody's voted Coach grow it back, so I'm letting it grow. My granddaughters, they even voted it, so they say you look too baby-faced without it, so I'm growing it back. How long is it going to be before they ban auto racing? That'll be the next one they'll come out with, right? Anything manly after that horrible wreck last night by Ryan Newman, pretty amazing to watch. I'm not a NASCAR fan. I can never figure out why guys would sit and watch cars go around in a circle. For hours and hours, I never figured that one out. But, there's high drama there, I guess. But we're watching a sport where people actually crash cars and could kill somebody. In fact, they were afraid maybe Ryan Newman was, because when they went to dig him out of the car, they put up those barricades so you couldn't see in there in case he was cut in half or something like that. So people couldn't see it. All kinds of. When are they going to call for the banning of NASCAR? Hey, I hope they do, because that will start the Civil War. They tell those NASCAR guys you can't drive around in the car. Listen, you can pump porn into our house and influence our kids, but don't you dare do away with NASCAR. That's a bridge too far. I'm feeling a little antsy here. I got some busy time coming. There's something happening here. Something happening. What time to be alive? And, you know, I was thinking about today when I had some troubled sleep last night. It's crazy what keeps us awake sometimes, isn't it? And one of the problems that you have troubled sleep is because you have this conversation going on in your head and you can't step away from it and look at it rationally. It's just about, you keep asking yourself questions in your head and you never really give an answer. This question comes up and then this question, what about this? And then what about this? And what about this? And there's never a solution. You never come to the point where you're rational enough to say, well, hey, we'll do this. We'll do this. We'll do this. But I was thinking today of some of my friends, some of our friends who are really walking through some stuff we don't even know about. I know some of it. Maybe some of you guys know some of it. Life can be hell sometimes, can't it? Be hell. And I just want to encourage some of you out there, man, keep pressing through. Remember, the Lord said that he endures to the end and shall be saved. And he tells us that he'll never leave us and he'll never forsake us. Those are platitudes, really. Those are words. They really don't help you a whole lot when you're going through it. And, you know, I was thinking the other day about, golly, I see, you know, I think about, I won't mention any names. You guys know who you are. We're really bearing some burdens. And some others of you who are bearing burdens that we don't even know anything about. And these are life and death issues. And I was thinking, you know, how much of these life and death issues that we're dealing with in one way or another revolve around finances. Ultimately, at some point, money always becomes a factor. It always does in all of it. Whether it's a sickness, whether it's a job issue, whether it's an issue with one of your children. Well, a lot of that pressure always comes from finances, doesn't it? Crazy. I wonder how many of our problems would disappear if every one of us had all the money we could ever needed. If money was free, maybe. I mean, I'm not a Bernie Sanders here. But think, all of you out there, the pressure it would take off of your life if you didn't have money pressures. And at some point, we're going to have to wake up. I don't know if it's going to be in my lifetime. I don't know whose lifetime it's going to be in. But we're going to have to wake up and understand that most of the money problems we have are government enforced. Most of them are. I saw yesterday that, I think I talked about this the other day, the number of unemployed people on Social Security and welfare and coming across the border and getting welfare is staggering. And it's being paid for with money that isn't even real. And even though the money isn't even real, and you lay awake at night figuring out how you're going to pay your bills, what you're going to do with this, the truth of it is, folks, listen to me, money's meaningless. It is absolutely, it's absolutely meaningless. I don't know if Roger's in here. Let me look down here. Listen, I'm going to ride this horse, man. I don't know how I got on it. Is Roger in there? Roger's always in here. Yeah, he's in there. Roger, I'm just curious. I saw some big company. Which one was it? Went bankrupt. Which big company just went bankrupt? Doesn't matter. I'm big one. Hey, Roger. What does that even mean? What does it mean to go bankrupt? If a person goes bankrupt, if I were to go bankrupt, what does that mean, Rob?
Well, in its simplest form, you're just, you don't have to pay anybody your debts. You're done.
Do they come and take my house and make me pay as much as I can? What do they do, Rob? How does that work? Because I know people who've gone bankrupt, and next thing you know, they're millionaires again. You see them on TV all the time. What does bankruptcy even mean?
Well, simply put, your debt is eliminated. There are numerous exemptions that allow you to keep certain things. Many times you can keep your house, but you basically eliminate your debt and you kind of start over now. You're not allowed to have too much to start over. But
you're allowed to build anything, right? But you can, you got to start again.
Yeah, well, you can do it every 8 years.
Is that right?
But you could run up, you know, $60,000-$70,000 in credit cards, and you file the bankruptcy, and the credit card debt goes away.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And so, Roger, this is interesting, folks. This is not what I want to talk about, but this is interesting.
The Boy Scouts just went bankrupt.
Boy Scouts, but I saw some other big company just went bankrupt. Boy Scouts went bankrupt. They went bankrupt. So here's again, folks, and listen, please, I think you ought to pay your debts, okay? I think a Christian ought to pay his debts. A lot of things we could get into finances, we shouldn't be in debt, right? But you should pay your debts. But once again, we find ourselves Christians living by a different set of rules in an ungodly system. We are trained, and we train our families, pay your debts, pay your debts. But we're operating in a system where you don't have to pay your debts. And so once again, we see our values coming in conflict with a worldly system. We see people who don't have jobs getting money called welfare or whatever you want to call it, aid dependent children, put whatever label you want to on it, because the government says, well, we don't want anybody starving. We don't want anybody doing without. That would be cruel. And so as a result, my daughters, who their husbands work jobs every day and they stay home and take care of their children, they have to get part-time jobs because they can't make their financial obligations because the government's taking all the money and giving it to the people who aren't working. Yet we are saying that we as Christians need to pay our debts. Does anybody see something crazy there other than me? Does anybody see us once again operating in a Alinsky at its finest? We're operating in an ungodly system in a godly way. And those two things are due to come in conflict. Ask yourself this. Can anyone explain to me why any Christian person, First Amendment of the Constitution, Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of a religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof? If Congress makes a law that says I have to pay taxes to support abortion, throw out whatever you want to after, things that violate my conscience, am I under obligation to pay those taxes? Says who? I'm asking the question. Does anybody have an answer to me? Because I know when Ken Hovind got himself in trouble, Dr. Dino got himself in trouble. He was paying his workers in cash, and the government was mad that he was paying his workers in cash. because if you pay it in cash, then they can't track the money quite as easily. And when they went to court and everything, Ken Hovind said, I didn't do anything wrong. I gave them their money. They were responsible for their own taxes, yada, yada, yada. Boom. We were kept pulling out of that beast system a little bit, costing 9 years in jail. When he said, we paid every tax we were obligated to pay, everyone we were obligated to pay, but they didn't like the way that he did it. Now, you know what happened? All the Christians then lined up and said how wrong Ken Hovind was because he didn't pay taxes. Which is it? Should we, I'm not leading a tax revolt, I'm asking the question, should we as Christian men and women pay taxes to ungodly government? Somebody make that argument for me real quickly. Don't go to Romans 13. Try a new verse out. I'm going to wait for a minute. Somebody explain to me, justify Christians having their money taken from them to kill babies. I'm listening.
Well, I guess that would be the render under Caesar's, that which is Caesar's. Render under God.
Render under Caesar, Bill? Render under Caesar Supreme Court decision? Is that what that would be?
I guess.
Come on now. Let's talk. Let's throw this around for 5 minutes, folks.
Well, I'm just saying, if you're working within that system, if only way to avoid it, I would say, is to not have income or not participate within the dollar system.
No, Chad. Okay. Roger just told us to run up as much debt as we can, $60,000, and then just don't pay it. That's what Roger just told us. That's the way that ungodly system works.
Well, when you run under Caesar, Coach, when you render under Caesar, Caesar's, the time that was spoken, there were two monetary systems. There was a temple currency, which was the people's currency, and the government's currency, which was the government that was in control of the people that owned people, that Roman currency. So there were two currencies. Like the Federal Reserve is a private government slave currency, but the United States Mint creates constitutional currency, which they hate.
Right.
Well, here's a question, Dave. If they can print money to oblivion, like with the Fed is, why do we even need taxes?
Well, that's right, Chad. And how about this? One of the things the Lord hates is unjust weights and measures. It's an abomination to him. So they're printing money, and we are in bondage to this money that they're just printing. Hey, folks, listen, I'm not a tax protester. I'm simply asking the question. Are we obligated? Are we obligated? I'm trying to read what Robert put in there.
Yeah, the money's not really uncomfortable.
Folks, listen, this is uncomfortable. You know why it's uncomfortable? Because it's where two kingdoms come in conflict. We are Christians trying to live in an ungodly system. And they're demanding we live by our Christian values in an ungodly system. Do you see the conflict of the two? I'm not against paying reasonable taxes for things that government does. The job of government is not wealth. I'm sorry, that's not government's job. It's not their job. It's not a lot of the stuff that government's doing. So we as Christians, once again, get beat over the head, render unto Caesar that which Caesar's. If you go back to the whole story, Jesus is talking about, said, who's inscriptions on that dollar? And they said, well, it's Caesar. And Jesus said, well, if you think it's Caesar's, then go ahead and give it to him. Jesus didn't say, well, give all that to Caesar. He said, give to him what you think's his. Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, and render unto God that which is God's. And I got a very easy question. What does Caesar own that God doesn't? I'm going to wait. That's a mic drop. Can somebody tell me one thing Caesar owns that God doesn't? That's what
I think. I think most of what the government takes in is not even appropriately taken in. They're misusing the money. But the problem is, if you fight the IRS, you won't live a decent life. You'll be totally overtaken by headaches and troubles and lawsuits and everything else. It's a matter of what battle you want to fight. I went through this for 8 years.
Oh, so that's what I'm asking, Robert. You know, that's what I'm asking.
I would say, just for discussion's sake, that God, he doesn't care about cash. He doesn't own the cash. He didn't create cash. He created gold and silver.
Right.
That's his money.
So, again, folks, Coach, what are you saying? I'm saying this. This is a perfect example of two kingdoms in conflict. Christians being forced to work within a beast system. Involuntarily, involuntarily. I don't want to work within that beast system, yet they make me work with it. You with me?
They make it so difficult not to live in that system. There's nothing that forces you to live in it. They make it difficult for you not to live in it.
Do you obey the government or do you obey God?
Yes.
Right? Do you obey? Are you forced? Does God tell you to give money to kill babies because the government says you should?
No, we're forced to be double-minded men, Coach.
We are.
I was told by multiple people some of us got to earn for the kingdom while others serve the kingdom. Now, what that means is some of us have to earn to pay for the people who don't work, right? Because we're the ones in the system paying taxes.
That used to be the church's job, by the way. That used to be the church's job to take care of those who didn't. Right? Right? So understand this. These two kingdoms are in conflict everywhere you look, and it's not going to get better. You are sending your children, your godly children, into an ungodly educational system that they're forcing you to pay for. At some point, folks, that should not bother our conscience at some point. At some point. You're forced to pay tax dollars to Caesar, who denies the power of God, who denies God. We have an entire party who's denying God. Not just God, but Christ. 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 I'm going to tell you something. These things are going to come more and more in focus in the next few years. Maybe not even the next few years. Because again, I wrote down here this morning, the battle, folks, is over truth. Everywhere you look, I don't care what avenue of business, what area you are operating, everything that you see, everything going around you is a battle over truth. What corner can we cut and get away with it? It's all about the truth. And I was saying before I went on the show, how can thinking human beings, rationally normal thinking human beings, possibly ever think Bruce Jenner is a woman? How could some person ever believe that? How could any person, ever rational person, ever believe that homosexuals are born that way? How could anybody, that God would have a person born into something he condemns? That's a heck of a God, isn't it? That would be a heck of a God. I don't think I'm going to make that one a homo, because I want to send him to hell, make him a homo. That's the most ridiculous thing, but yeah, we think it, right? We think it. The battle's over truth. We deny whether or not God is Jesus Christ, is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We think he is, but he's not above DC. In fact, our pastors will tell us, don't obey the Lord, obey the government. Pay them money. Even though it violates what God says, you pay them. See, the battle's over truth. And let me tell you this. The devil's only weapon are lies. It's his only weapon. Deception. Did God really say? That's all the devil has. Truth. Our battle's over truth. And you find yourself, I know me, I find myself coming in conflict when I, as somebody said, I don't know who it was, I'm not bragging about me. Somebody said to me the other day, Coach, I don't think I've ever met a more black and white guy than you. There's no gray area with you. You are a rare guy in that aspect of it. That's right. And people don't like black and white, because black and white forces us to make a choice. We have to make a choice. Yes or no. Is this right or is this wrong? It's simple. There is no gray area. There is, listen to me, no moral relativism with Christ. There is none. That is the middle. That is the mushy vomit middle. He is not in the middle. He is right and wrong. That's all. He is truth and lie. There is no middle.
Amen.
We are constantly being forced into the middle through compromise. The devil's only weapon is deception.
That's it. I just had an epiphany. The only reason we need lawyers is because there's a gray area.
They live in the gray areas.
The lawyers are the gray area.
I said, nothing against lawyers. My son is an attorney. Well, he hasn't taken the bar yet. But he's a pretty smart guy. And when he came home from law school, you know, I said to him, started having some conversations with him. I said, how'd you get so dumb? He used to be really smart. And now everything you talk about's in the gray area. Everything you talk about's in the gray area. How'd you get so stupid? Somebody dumbed you down, boy.
A bar attorney and a lawyer. There's a difference. Not all lawyers.
That's a whole show in itself, Jack. You're going to lose people in the wounds. That's a whole show in itself. The battle is over truth. Hey, what was O.J. Simpson? If it doesn't fit, you must acquit. All they had to do was create some doubt, right? That's all the devil does. Wherever you are in your walk and in your life, folks, you are being controlled by doubt and fear. That's all fear is, doubt. And so, like I said, when you lay your head down on your pillow at night and you can't sleep, why can't you sleep? I'll tell you why. Because you are repeating lies in your own head. What if this happens and 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 this? And none of those have happened. They're all possibilities. But it would be just as easy to think that you could wake up in the morning and be a millionaire. I could wake up and there'd be $1 million on my dresser. But we don't think that way. Why? Because there's something about this natural world in which we see the guys at the NFL, the penis pushers that keep sending me those videos. Those, not videos, don't send videos. They keep sending me those pictures. See, they more than anything, they hate me because I make them look at the truth. They hate it. They hate the truth. They want to have male butt sex, and they don't want me telling them they can't. They hate the truth. And you know what's happened to us? You know what's happened to us? Our churches are saying that you can have male butt sex and still come to church. You can still come in here and be one of us. And folks, Bible's very clear. You come on, man. You won't find that anywhere in the church, anywhere in the Bible. You won't find that anywhere in the Bible of Jesus Christ affirming homosexuality. You won't find it anywhere. Yet our churches do. Why? Deceptions.
Maybe the churches need to teach anatomy. Reuse of the body parts. And let the people go back into the schools to teach the schools the proper use of body parts.
You're not allowed in the schools to teach that, Mark, because they've already determined what is. See, they determine what's acceptable, not what's right and wrong, what's acceptable. And like I said the other day, maybe I'm going to write on this. Am I allowed to be racist? No. Hey, hang on a minute. Hang on. I am not. But am I allowed to be racist? Am I allowed to be bigoted? Am I allowed to be hateful? Am I allowed to be judgmental? Who told me I'm not allowed to be those things? Who said that I can't do that? And who said me speaking the truth was judgmental? Because, see, the truth sounds like hate to those who hate the truth. So rather than taking a good reflective look at themselves and say, you know what? The Bible does say that about sodomy and boy, but I really want to be a Christian, and I really like the people at church, and the pastor's a nice guy, so I'll just act like that God was drunk that day when he wrote that. He didn't mean that. And I'll try to live. I know what? I'll love my neighbor. There it is. Right. Oh, I'll love my neighbor. I'll love my neighbor. It's a half-truth, see? It's an out-of-context truth. And it's everywhere we look in today's society, in today's culture. I open up my internet in the morning, and I can't believe some of the stuff. I can't believe it. I just can't believe it. And that video, I know I sent a lot of you a video that I got from Vinny, actually, that I sent out yesterday regarding homosexuality. That was one of the most powerful videos I think I've ever watched because it talked about, it combined. Did you watch it, Trump? I'm not putting you on the spot. Did you get a chance? If you didn't get a chance to watch that, it combines the physical, the emotional, the intellectual, and the spiritual side of what sodomy does to a man. It was like my goodness. Oh, my goodness. And the importance of getting to the children young. Getting to them young. Well, if you haven't watched, if I sent you that video and you haven't watched it, watch it. Talks about masturbation, where it came from. It's good. Hey, Jared, I'd probably send it to you. Put it in the chat. Anybody wants to watch it? Here's what I wanted to do with it, and I still would like to. I would like to show it, the entire thing on my show, but I don't know if I'm allowed to. Jared, would there be a copyright to something like that? Because this would be an unbelievable video to show and to stop and discuss. Stop and discuss. Because the truth is there, man. It is there. And the video shows us exactly what's going on. Anybody watch that video, have a comment on that? Because I got someplace else I want to go with this.
Not had a chance to watch it yet, Coach.
You gotta watch it. Go ahead. Somebody else.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I'm glad to watch that last night because we are going to Kenyon College this Saturday. That was just disgusting. And then it gives me a different light on standing up there on the main drag on the college campus where they're doing this LGBTQ. It's just incredible.
Yeah, folks, you got to watch it. Jared, I don't know how we research whether or not I'm allowed to show segments of that and discuss it because, boy, was it ever eye-opening to me, really, really eye-opening to me, all surrounding sodomy, which you're not allowed to use that word. No wonder you're not allowed to use that word. If you watch that video, you'll know why you're not allowed to use that word.
What's your opinion on them, she blaming the Jews for a lot of it?
That's part of it. From her perspective, folks, she the lady made the video. She says it's the what we would call the Khazar Jews, the Ashkenazi, those who are Jews and are not. She says they're the ones that are behind it. So you can put that out of your head if you want to. That's not what that video is about. It's about what the whole act of sodomy does emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually, the whole act of sodomy, regardless of who's behind it, because we know this, the devil's behind it. And how the devil manifests it, that's an entirely different thing. And that was not the focus of the video, at least in my mind. It was all those other things. And I think those of you who watch it, it will play out even more. You will get even deeper revelation as you watch that about not just sodomy, but about the spiritual consequences of what's going on and how we're being so easily misled, so easily diabolically confused. Hey Jared, click on DC Dave, top article. DC Dave. So I don't know. I get stuff all the time. I'm glad you're not all mad at me yesterday about preterism. Do some research on your own. I saw this. I was surprised by that. Did you know preterism is I get if I got this right, preterism is the view of the Church of Christ denomination. I didn't know that. I learned that yesterday. Go, Mark.
Yeah, before you start the preterism subject, back to the spirit.
Uh-huh.
I want to ask the crowd, would you choose to follow a demon? If a demon manifested himself to you, would you follow him? Everyone's going to say, no, I wouldn't. I got another question. Do you sin? The moment you choose is when you choose to follow the demon. That's when you allow him governance over you. The very moment you choose. So if you say you wouldn't follow a demon, that's meaning that you wouldn't sin. That means you don't sin. Are you sure?
Wow, yeah. Now, Mark, difference between following and being influenced by. I'm with you up to there, being influenced, demonic. How about this one? I know a lot of people, including me, who did stuff when I'd had too many beers that I'd never had done if I hadn't been drinking. So there's something in that beer that they call spirits. Something in there, isn't it? Something in there. And boy, pornography, that in that video talking about pornography and the impacts of, oh my goodness. So I was kind of encouraged this morning because now I see why they came after me so hard, because I'm over the target. I'm over the target with pornography in the NFL and I'm over the target on it, man. That's what that video did for me yesterday, Vinny, when you sent it to me. It showed me, Coach. You're right on. Don't back down. You're right on, man. You are right on. That's why I called David Arthur and I said, David, I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. I said, David, I did a video about pornography. And all of a sudden I'm attacked by the homos. What's that all about? What's that all about? And now I know. Because the homosexual spirit is behind much of pornography. It's the same. Talking about spirits, Mark. It's the
Amen.
It's the Amen. Spirit driving it, see. It's the spirit Amen. Driving it. Because I mentioned pornography. I never said a word about homosexuality.
Which when goes my, back. My inbox
goes up penises, right?
Right. Which goes back to the fallen angel. Uh-huh. Or angels that have those particular gifts that they bestowed on man. And I believe the kings still reside that have those influences over us.
Mark, our church doesn't believe that. Our pastor doesn't believe in those
gifts. Coach, it goes back to your kingdom conflict. The same yes. people, your kingdom conflict is in the church and in the government, and the same people that can find Christ enforcing homosexuality found abortion in the 14th Amendment.
Mm-hmm. Why, Jack? Can I tell you why? Because the love of money is the root of all evil. It always comes back to somebody making a buck. Don't ever think it. And if you miss that, you miss the whole thing. You miss the whole thing. Abortion is about money and it's about power. It's not about a woman's right to choose. They just convinced women. They've convinced women they're empowered. That's what they tell them. Abortion empowers women. It doesn't. It's a lie, and we believe it. And you ask a woman, how does that empower you? And she would say, well, it empowers me because I get to control my reproductive whatever. I get to control it. No, you don't. You have to kill somebody to control
it. Hey, Coach.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Yeah.
You know, I read an article the other day where J-Lo is critical of people that have been criticizing the Super Bowl. She says it's about empowering women. And you think about, in a way it is. It's the Jezebel spirit. That's what that's empowering.
So it's a lie, right? It's a twist of a lie. Mm-hmm. And they say one thing and we think something else. We hear the same words and get different interpretations of what we just heard. See, that's the devil. Did God really say? God really say? So you mean to tell me my wife gets pregnant and she kills the baby for whatever reason. She's empowered. She kills the baby. And 60 years later, whatever, however many years, we've been married 40 years later. 40 years later, our life's more enriched because we killed that baby. You got to be kidding me, right? Our life is our children. Yet they're telling us that it empowers women to kill 17 techniques for truth suppression. Pull that up on your screen there, Jared. This is from dcdave.com. It's an article somebody sent to me. I've been laying on here for a couple of days, a couple of weeks maybe. Even. I don't know how long, maybe not that long. Strong, credible allegations of high-level criminal activity can bring down a government. We're in the middle of that right now, by the way. When the government lacks an effective fact-based defense, other techniques must be employed. Think about Hillary now. Think about this, folks. Think about what's going on in the deep state and all the corruption that is going on. The success of these techniques depends heavily upon a cooperative, compliant press and a token opposition party. In other words, the press is on the same side and the Republicans are just acting like they're against them because they're really not. Because all of the corruption could not take place if there really was a righteous side. If the Republicans really were righteous, they would have called out the Democrats earlier. But they can't call the Democrats earlier because they're involved with it, but they just give the appearance that they're opposing it. How can you explain 3 years later, nobody in that deep state's been arrested yet? Nobody. So here's the 17 techniques that they use to suppress truth. And think about this because this can happen in your church as well. Number one, dummy up. If it's not reported, if it's not news, it didn't happen. Just don't say anything about it. Just ignore it. This is a number of ways that you can suppress truth. Right? So there is homosexuals who've invaded your church and sitting on the front row. And if nobody brings it up, if it's not reported, then it's not news. It didn't happen. They aren't really sitting there. Number two, wax indignant. Boy, is that a good one. Are you me? You're talking about me? How dare you? Then they shut you up. Number three, characterized the charges as rumors, or better yet, wild rumors. If in spite of the news blackout, the public is still able to learn about the suspicious facts, 911, if it can be through only be through rumors, then if they tend to believe the rumors, it must be because they are simply paranoid or hysterical or see where this is going? See how this is the devil, man. The devil's suppressing truth. Number four, knock down straw men. Deal only with the weakest aspects of the weakest charges. Talk about abortion. See how smart you are. If you talk about abortion, where is the first place all pro-choice people go? Can somebody tell me? First place.
Rape. Incest. Rape,
incest. Life. There you are. There you are. Get up the straw man. And there you go. So their argument's always over rape, incest, the health of the mother, when never, hardly ever, is it about any of those when the woman goes in to get aborted. But they win the argument because they picked out the weakest charge, and if you don't know how to answer, then you look like a fool. Says, so even better, create your own straw man. Make up wild rumors. What about somebody that was raped? What if somebody was raped by four different guys and they don't know who the real dad? See, that's how they do it. That's how they knock down truth. Number five. Call the skeptics names like conspiracy theorists or nutcase or ranter or kook or crackpot and, of course, rumor monger. Conspiracy theorists! Be sure, too, to use heavily loaded verbs and adjectives like the more reasonable government and its defenders. You must be careful. How about this? Far right. Yeah. Deplorables. You must then carefully avoid fair and open debate with any of these people that you've just maligned. So they'll have me on, they'll talk about me, but they won't let me come on and defend myself. Why? For insurance, they'll bring in their own skeptics that'll shoot down what I said. So in other words, they'll say, well, Coach, you're not going to go to hell for watching a video, which is not what I said. It is what I said, but not in context. You guys follow me here? It's good stuff. Impugn motives. I hear people say, Coach, you're suing the NFL because you want people to give you money. Well, there you go. Attempt to marginalize the critics by suggesting strongly that they're not really interested in truth, but just getting some money out of it. Number seven, invoke authority. Oh, boy. Here the controlled press and the sham opposition can be very useful. Yeah. They bring in their experts. You ever know they have those panels, those people set up there, and then all the experts? Well, I studied at Yale, and I studied at Harvard, and I studied at Chippendale State. Dismiss the charges as being old news. Are you still after Hillary? That's old news. Number nine, come half clean. This is also known as confession and avoidance by taking the limited hangout route. This way you create the impression of being honest while you admit to some relatively harmless, less than criminal mistakes. We made, yes, mistakes were made, but we're moving on and we've done what we can to try to correct them, but we're not looking behind us. We're moving forward. That's how they come half clean. Number 10, characterize the crimes as impossibly complex and the truth as ultimately unknowable. 9-1-1, Kennedy assassination. It's so complex. Las Vegas shooting. It's so complex. We'll never be able to figure that one out. It's so complex. Number 11, reason backwards. So using the deductive method with a vengeance. With thoroughly rigorous deduction, troublesome evidence is irrelevant. We have a completely free press. If evidence exists that Vince Foster's suicide note was forged, they would have reported it, they say. They haven't reported it, so therefore there's no evidence. You get what they're saying? If the media doesn't report it, there's no evidence. They present the evidence. The media presents the evidence. You understand that? Another variation on this theme involves the likelihood of a conspiracy leaker in the press who would report. Look at the leaks on Trump. Oh, not allowed to say who it is. Got to protect the whistleblower. This is good. Number 12. This is a way to avoid the truth. Require the skeptics to solve the crime completely. If Foster was murdered, who did it and why? So you can't just say Foster was murdered. No, they want you to be the detective and give all the answers to it. And if you can't give all the answers to it, then it's a conspiracy theory. Well, we won't deal with that. Number 13, how about this one? Change the subject. This technique involves creating and or publicizing distractions. Say, Coach Dobbelmeyer, what do you think about a woman's right to choose? Should a let's say I'm going to kill him. What do you want to take away a woman's rape to whatever? You want to kill the baby? And I take the subject, and all of a sudden I take it to the way women have always been oppressed, and all throughout history women have been second class, and talk about everything except the issue. The issue is, can she kill her baby? And you're talking about whether they were oppressed. That's what politicians are wonderful at in those debates. They ask them a question, and then they go wherever they want to and give a non-answer. It's a distraction. 14. By the way, then the bell goes, your 2 minutes are up. And nobody says, wait a minute, dude, you didn't answer that. Lightly report incriminating facts and make nothing of them. This is sometimes referred to as a bump-and-run reporting. A report came out today that Donald Trump had a secret meeting with Vladimir Putin. Move on. Report, bump and run. It's a bump and run. 15, baldly and brazenly lie. Amen. A favorite way of doing this is to attribute the facts furnished to the public as a plausible sounding but anonymous source. Well, I heard some, my sources tell me that that's not exactly what all happened, and some of the things went on behind the scenes we're just not privy to, but trust me, a lot of this is made up. 16, expanding further on numbers 4 and 5. Let's go back up to numbers 4 and 5, Jared. Numbers, let's expand on these. 4 is knock down the straw, build a straw man, knocking down, and then call people conspiracy theorists, right? Like I was talking about the government and money, right? You guys could knock down and say, oh, yeah, well, but what about those people who can't afford to pay taxes? That's a straw man. You knock him down, and then you say, Coach is just a conspiracy theorist. He doesn't think we should be paying taxes at all. And that's how they do it. Combine 4 and 5, put them together. Scroll back down, Jared, about done. Expand number 4 and 5, have your own stooges expose scandals and then champion those popular causes. So that's why all of a sudden my inbox is full of penises, because they're trying to great term. This is amazing, right? A variation is to pay rich people for the job who will pretend to spend their own money. That's what George Soros does. See, George Soros takes all of his money and he funds all this stuff that we see going on. And the people can say, well, you know, money was donated to us. And then 15, flood the internet with agents. Amen on that one. Huh? I call them trolls. This is the answer to the question. What could possibly motivate a person to spend hour upon hour on internet news defending the government and or the press and harassing genuine critics? What could possibly make scores of people send me penises? I mean, what could do that other than they flood the internet with their own? By the way, do we do that? Why don't we do that? Why hasn't every article that I've posted about me and the NFL and all those, why haven't we had a bunch of agents flood the internet and defend it? Defend me.
Their spirit's stronger. Their spirit is fueling them to send you penises. What is our spirit fueling us to do?
The markets. Don't the authorities have defenders enough in all the newspapers, magazines, radio, and television? One would think refusing to print critical letters and screening out serious callers or dumping them from radio talk shows would be control enough, but nope, obviously it's not. So that's what's going on, folks. And every one of these things, if you go down all 17 of these, they all involve deception. They are all the avoidance of truth. And as I started the show, I said, what's the battle over? Truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth, if you know it, shall make you free. Why are we in such bondage? I wish I had one in my pocket. We're in such bondage because we think a dollar bill is money. We actually think that's money. It's a piece of paper. We're in bondage. See, they have made us think it's money. They've made us think we owe taxes on that piece of paper. They make us think that when we go to work, and we get paid that's income. That's not income. That's trading your labor for something they want to give you. That's not income. When you go to work, you have lost your whole day. They pay you for your day. It's a trade. It's not income. It's mindsets. Mindsets that we have that we don't understand. And we are under bondage because we have yet to understand the language that the devil and his demons use. Okay, I've been rambling. Somebody come on in here. I got something else too for you.
Coach, you gotta repeat the disclaimer that's on a Federal Reserve note. until they just erase the last part of it. This note is legal tender for all debts, public and private, and is redeemable in lawful money at any Federal Reserve Bank or the United States Treasury.
That's the old silver certificate, right, Jack? That's not on there anymore. That's the old silver certificate. And they just took redeemable, they just took all that off and just said this is legal tender.
That wasn't on certificates. That was on every Federal Reserve note.
I got you.
Until they convinced us that it was the dollar and they just erased it. If it was a dollar, where did it come from? The dollar, the word dollar is in the original 1789 Constitution. There was no Federal Reserve then, so the definition of a dollar was already well established.
So I said to somebody in the pre-show, they said, well, that's unconstitutional. As I came into the pre-show, somebody was saying, maybe it was Larry, I don't know. Somebody was saying, well, that's unconstitutional. And I kind of chuckled when I came in and said, are you kidding me? Everything you're doing is unconstitutional. But we live in a system. Remember, it's a two-tiered system. The righteous system, those who serve the Lord, are pulled into this ungodly system, the devil's system. And we're told to act like Christians in this devilish system. And so those who are in control, since Christians are just passing through, and Christians don't have, we're not worried about this world. This world is not our home, and we're about to be raptured out of here. There's a whole pile of us that are righteous people being controlled by unrighteous people. And unrighteous people don't report on themselves. They do not, Republican and Democrat, they are part of that beast system, and they do not report on themselves. And because Christians have said, we're not going to be involved anymore, we have non-Christians running our government telling Christians how to behave. Now, anybody want to take a shot at that one? Think I'm wrong on that? Because that's it. Then I see people, it amazes me, on Facebook who want Trump out because he's not Christian. You guys see that, don't you? You do see it. See, Trump is a bridge. He's a bridge from this unrighteous system into the righteous system. Now, whether he's righteous or not, I don't know. I really don't know. But those of us who are in this system over here, most of us are recognizing that he's working for us against this guys over here that control everything. They control the money. They control the taxes. They control the power. They control the schools. They control Hollywood. They control everything. And it looks to me like Trump has jumped from this one over into this one. And he's given us somewhat of a representation over here. But the truth of our problem is Trump can't do anything. We have to do something. We have to do something.
Yeah. If I may chime in here real quick, you know, the concept that some of the dots that I connect is that we have not studied to show ourselves approved. We have this form of godliness. We deny the power of, and two points of example, Satan is always getting us doubting. We see that in the garden. He says to Eve, he said, did God really say?
There you go. Now we're off and running.
Now, are you ready for this? When Satan encounters Jesus in the barren desert, he questions him again. If you are the Son of God. You see, always planting the seed of doubt. So when he comes against the righteous person who does not know God, does not stand truly in God's word and firm in the spirit, they waver in their answers. So then the left attack him about the homosexual agenda. And they don't know, they don't have the clear answer, they don't have the scripture to back it up. So what do? Then they compromise. They pull the same thing Adam does. They compromise.
nothing new under the sun. Jared, pull up that fake predictions email. Fake prediction. It's an email all by itself I sent to you. Fake predictions. Hey, listen, Chris, what's the battle over? A little bit of review here, class. What's the battle over?
The seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman.
Always about truth. Always about truth, right? And remember this, behind every lie, there are two things waiting. Power, control, and money. Those are the two motivating factors behind every lie that you're hearing. Power and control and money, okay? So I just happened to pull this up. Somebody, I don't know who I got it from. These are... email, these were warnings, fake predictions. This is going to happen. 1996, they told us oil was going to be gone in 10 years. 1967, dire famine was forecast by 1975. 1968, the total overpopulation will spread worldwide. 1969, everyone will disappear in a cloud of blue steam by 1989. 1970, they told us the world will use up all of its natural resources by 2000. And in 1970, the urban citizens will require gas masks by 1985 because of the pollution. 1970, they told us nitrogen buildup will make all land unusable. 1970, decaying pollution will kill all the fish. 1970, there'll be killer bees. 1970, there's going to be an ice age by 2000. That's when Earth Day started, by the way. 1970, America's going to subject, America's subject to water rationing by 1974 and food rationing by 1980. It's 1971, they said there's a new ice age coming by 2020 or maybe 2030. 1972, there's a new ice age by 2070. 1972, oil's going to, back to oil again. It's going to be depleted in 20 years. Space satellites will show that there's new ice age coming fast. That was 1974. They said there's another ice age coming. Then 1974, they said, well, there's an ozone depletion, a great peril to our lives. And then 1976, scientists consensus planet was cooling. Famines were coming because the world was getting cold. In 1977, the Department of Energy says oil will peak in the 90s and then we'll run out of it. And then 1978, there'll be no end in sight to a 30-year cooling trend. And then 1980, acid rain. Remember that? Remember acid rain? Acid rain's going to kill all the life in all the lakes. 1980, peak oil. 2000, we're done with oil. 2000, something about that oil they don't like in there. 1999, regional droughts. Never happened. 1990s, temperatures in D.C. is going to hit record highs. No, my massive islands will be underwater by 2018. They're not there underwater yet. Rising sea levels will obliterate nations. Nothing's done by 2000. New York City's West Side Highway underwater by 2019. Still not. Peak oil, 2020. That's right now. Children won't know what snow is. Famine in 10 years if we don't give up eating fish, meat, and dairy. Peak oil, 2010. Britain will be Siberia by 2024. Manhattan's going to be underwater by 2015. There's going to be super hurricanes. And Arctic will be ice-free by 2018. And climate genius Al Gore predicts ice-free article. Then the Arctic will be ice-free by 2013. And climate genius Prince Charles says we have 96 months to save war. That's 2009. UK Prime Minister says there's 50 days to save the planet from catastrophe. In 2009, the climate genius Al Gore moves 2013 prediction for ice-free Arctic. 2014, guess nothing crazy. Well, Arctic ice-free by 2015. 2014, only 500 days before climate chaos. 2019, hey, Greta, we need you to convince them it's really not going to happen this time. See, the devil is constantly serving up chaos. Fear. The devil's the author of fear. And we're all fear motivated rather than pulling back and pulling the curtain back and saying, daggone, I'm afraid because here's what they're doing. They're causing the fear. And you can't serve faith and fear. You can't serve. I just saw Michael Bloomberg now wants to put something unbelievable, $500 million, or maybe it was more than that, into what? The challenges of climate change. Robert,
hey, Coach.
About lies, truth, and lies. Yes, Bruce Jenner's a man. He's a man. Men can't
every
become
one of those.
Babies are alive. Babies are not part of tissue. It's all over life. I'm sorry, Paul. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying one of the things that you say there should have been. That's why you should give me $10 million, and I'll take care. I'll fix it for you.
That's right.
Each one of those was a money scheme. It's to get your money.
All were money schemes. That's what I said. It's all about power, control, or money. Every one of these lies. Now, hang on. Oh, well. That's why it's so easy for so many people to be skeptical about the coronavirus. We don't know what to believe anymore. We don't know what to believe. And can I tell you the truth? I don't believe the government. Are you ready to go, Robert? February 18th.
Hey, Coach, just real quick before Robert gets here. You know, it's easy to say the devil tells all these lies and everything, but look at it in this perspective. God doesn't lie.
Garrett, what Coach just read, can you put it in the chat? Please?
Yeah, he'll do it. Because it's hard because it was a standalone piece and I didn't have a link to it. We'll figure out a way to get it. If I have to send it to you, Robert, I'll do. Joseph, I'll do that. Are you ready, Robert?
Yeah, I'm ready. Well, it's pretty obvious. The whole world lies under the influence of the devil. We see it everywhere.
It's everywhere.
Everywhere.
It's like nothing. I said to Michelle yesterday, it's like nothing's true. I love you. I love my family. But everything else is fake, I think. You with me, folks? Is anything true? Anything true? Yeah, of course there is. But the truth is what's under attack. And got to be careful. Oh, my goodness.
Yep, that's right.
From our pulpits, too. We're hearing lies from our pulpits as well. Go ahead, Robert.
That's true, Coach. We just got to be spirit-filled and Bible-led and fight the fight. It is not playtime, bedtime, or nighttime for the overcoming Christian, but rather it is high time to engage our enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil, to be sober-minded and spiritually alert, to walk in the light of Christ, exposing the unfruitful deeds of darkness. Wow. And of course, they're everywhere. They're everywhere.
Everywhere.
But we got to expose them. The sooner the church gets to stepping out, the sooner the Lord will begin stomping out. The sooner the church gets to trotting, the sooner God will get to treading. The sooner God's people begin looking for and hasten the coming of the day of God, the sooner the King of Kings, Lord of Lords will return and show all who is boss. The sooner the reigning lion of Judah returns, the quicker the roaring lion will be put in his cage. It won't happen until then.
Right.
Through God, we will do valiantly, and it is he who will tread down our adversaries. This is Psalm 108. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, Paul says, for it is God who is at work in you, both the will and the work for his good pleasure. So we got the power on our side. We got to work it out. For we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them, not talk about them. Walk in them.
We were created for good works.
Yeah. We're to walk, not talk. How amazing it is that the sovereign God of the universe has chosen to work through finite creatures to accomplish his mighty purposes. He has given each believer who is now a new creation in Christ a certain calling and purpose in life, and fully equips each one to carry out that purpose. And such is accomplished not by our strength, but by his power, not by our expertise, but by his grace, and not so much by our ability, but by our availability.
No kidding.
We got to get out there and be available. For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise.
Yep.
And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong, and the base things of the world and the despised. God has chosen the things that are not, that he might nullify the things that are, that no man should boast before God.
Yep.
So they could say we're nothing, but that's who God uses, the nothings. In such confidence we have through Christ toward God, not that we're adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. We've got to be God empowered to fight this fight. For this says the high and exalted one who lives forever, whose name is holy, I dwell on the high and holy place, and also with the contrite and lowly of spirit, in order to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. It is God's mighty grace that makes all this possible. Just as we were saved by his grace, so we must walk in his grace. We must not receive it in vain, because Paul says, working it together with God, we urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain.
Wow.
Remember, those who receive the abundance of God's grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Christ. That's a powerful verse. We'll go into it. But those who do not do this may find themselves ruined in this life. But praise the Lord that his grace labors within us and instructs us. For Paul confessed, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And God's grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God with us. How many Christians labor today? For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Who is wise? Let him give heed to these things, and consider the loving kindness of the Lord. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. Not just read, but do his commandments.
Folks,
good understanding.
Listen, folks, all day today, you are going to be confronted with things that are not true. Some of them are going to be things people say. Some of them are going to be things that you read. Some of them are going to be things that you saw on the internet, whatever. And our job is to be discerners of the truth. And our job is also to point out falsehood, to expose the unfruitful works of darkness. And we are where we are today because the light will not shine into the darkness. We will not speak the truth of the gospel of the kingdom of God to those who are lost. And because we accept, we pull back, we withdraw, they got 75% of the power, and we got 25% of the power, and they're pushing us off the edge, and we're just praying for the rapture so we can get out of here because we're running out of room to be able to roam. And I don't think that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stand up, cry loud, spare not, lift your voice like a trumpet. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.